It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We are already seeing the effects of climate change. Glaciers are shrinking, sea levels are rising, plant and animal ranges are shifting, and scientists believe that our planet is in the midst of its sixth mass extinction. In the face of all that bad and scary news, it's hard to maintain hope. Two environmental science students at Luther College decided to go looking for hope, and they shared what they found in a podcast. Here's an excerpt.
Sometimes you get in those like really daunting conversations in the classroom, and then it kind of, class ends, and you're like, you just like are sitting there like, oh, okay. You know, and then you go on with your day. But it would be nice if that conversation was continued in some way outside of the classroom, I think.
Last semester, I like felt that all the time. Because I was like, a couple of the classes that I was taking, the way that they were framed was kind of negative. And it just like seemed to focus a lot on problems and not on solutions. That was probably the worst it's ever been for me. It's just like, why do I do environmental things? Like, why don't I just like do people's taxes or something and like make my living and like live a happy life and
The students behind that podcast are with me now. Laura Preschholt just graduated from Luther this spring with a degree in environmental studies and a minor in economics. Hello, Laura.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Amy Thor is also here. She is an environmental studies major entering her senior year at Luther. Hello, Amy.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. And Laura, I'll start with you. What drew you to environmental studies? When did you first get really interested in the environment and in facing some of these big problems?
Sure. Well, I'd have to say that my interest in the environment really came from a childhood connection to nature. My mom was always good about taking me on walks as a kid, and she'd always point out flowers to me and tell me what the names of the flowers were. And my hometown of Cumberland, Wisconsin is a very beautiful area surrounded by a lake. And so I just kind of drew a connection to nature from that. And this is kind of cheesy, but I remember in seventh grade watching Inconvenient Truth with Al Gore. And for the first time really learning about the issue of climate change and the pressing nature of it, and really understood that to be one of the defining issues of, I think, our generation. And so from there, I kind of developed this sense that that was something that I wanted to tackle in my career.
Now, the documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, is not exactly uplifting.
No.
And it's pretty scary to watch that. So
yeah, it is.
Did you find that to be daunting? If that was one of the things that got you involved in this world, was it frightening to think about everything that was happening? Did you feel like you could affect change back then?
I think that's a really good point to make. I think it was interesting that like the fear sort of kind of seemed to like drive me into that and the interest. But I really found that to sort of pale in comparison to the connections I had made in my childhood. And like, that's really what I fell back on as I began my education at Luther, because I was learning about, you know, sort of these daunting things in my classes. But then when I kind of found myself needing hope, I would take a lot of long walks. Decorah, Iowa is a really beautiful place. And so that's where I really found I was able to reconnect after feeling, you know, those kind of daunting emotions, because climate change is such a complex problem and there's so many factors and the consequences are really scary. And so sometimes it helps to just kind of take a little break from that and go back to the basics of, you know, why I was connected to the environment in the first place.
Amy, how did you get connected to this? I mean, you were kind of engaged in the gloom and doom outlook as a young person, right?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I think I really started becoming interested in environmental sciences as like a way to go forward as a major and as a life, like career decision, once I started realizing how much I liked understanding how the kind of earth systems and climate systems worked. And so like from a climate systems perspective, from like a strictly science perspective, I suppose it's like kind of easy to look at that problem and see how like how small of a snapshot it is in the like history of the Earth and the future of the Earth. Like, but it also is like, for me in my life, it's pretty scary, and like it's been a way to out or like an outlook on life that I've been like accustomed to growing up, just because that's maybe how I've had it portrayed to me in my life in society, I guess. I don't know.
So did that kind of fear, did that almost keep you from pursuing environmental science?
I think that's a big part of it. It seemed like I couldn't do anything as an individual. Like, I didn't want to try to even tackle it because I didn't think I had any ability to do anything about it. And it kept me from that, yeah.
Well, so I want to talk more about where you then found the hope to pursue environmental science and pursue a future in this area. But first, I want to, since you guys have both painted a really nice picture of how daunting it can be to even think about environmental issues when so much is going wrong. Tell me about the conversation that led to the two of you exploring the idea of finding hope as a way to cope with all of this.
I think a lot of it, at least for me, started or happened when we started talking to other people, started interviewing mm-hmm. other people, especially interviewing adults and adult activists who have been active and working to combat, maybe not specifically climate change, but environmental problems for a while, who have had successes and had things work out for them. I think that really started to show me that it was possible, and that maybe, yeah, I'm not going to solve the whole problem, but I'm going to solve, and I could work to solve something. And I think that was a big part of it for me and like inspiring me. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like bringing this idea of maybe exploring the idea of hope with Amy. Like, one of the things that was actually so encouraging about it was that when she and I were talking about maybe doing this podcast, that she had felt a lot of the same things that I had felt, just in terms of like, you know, feeling almost paralyzed when hearing about like the complexity and the scope of these issues, and you know, feeling disillusioned and discouraged sometimes, like just as an environmental studies major, because you're often presented with the impacts, you know, can be sometimes on a daily basis, depending on the courses that you have, like just as a reality of the major. And so I took a lot of comfort in that I wasn't going through it alone. And so, yeah, as Amy said, you know, talking to the other activists and people who had been involved in the fields for their, you know, entire lives sometimes, and seeing that they struggled with those things, but also that they found a way to persevere through that was really hopeful in itself, I thought.
So tell me, Laura, why don't you tell me about the individuals you guys chose to interview for this project?
We started out, you know, since this was a college project, we looked to those around us. So we interviewed our peers about their experiences as fellow environmental studies majors. And we interviewed our professors who are, you know, kind of our on-the-ground mentors. And we specifically wanted to talk to them about their experiences as educators and sort of, you know, whether they felt a responsibility to students to kind of maintain a sense of hope and agency in the classroom within their students and how they maintain that within themselves. And then we kind of broadened that to community members in Decorah. Specifically, we spoke with a man, Lyle Oddie, who is an activist in Decorah, and he was very a prominent figure in organizing around the issue of frac sand mining in Winnesheek County and stopping that. And then even more broadly, we spoke with Connie Mutel, who is an author from the University of Iowa, and she had written a book kind of detailing her experiences with the issue of climate change and working through her feelings relating to that. So yeah, we were kind of trying to collect an idea, a sense of how each of these people approaches the issue and deals with the emotions they have connected with what can be a really complex scientific issue, but has really high stakes in terms of emotional response.
Now, during the podcast, you guys share moments from all of the different conversations that you have, pieces of information or wisdom that the people you interviewed pass along. And I'd like each of you to think of one that really connected with you, that really moved you in some way. Laura, can you think of an example of something that one of these individuals said that helped frame your thinking about your life's work?
Yeah, sure. Well, one of them that really hit home with me was one of the things we learned that as we embarked on this podcast was that to have hope, you kind of have to have a sense of agency, a sense that you have a capacity to kind of control your actions in response to something and that you have a goal in what you want to accomplish. And one of our professors, John Jensen, who teaches environmental philosophy at Luther, he talked about that sometimes he really isn't sure of the path forward and how important it is to have this idea. He kind of called it a compass bearing of where we want to go. It doesn't have to be exact. It doesn't even have to be clear, but this idea that there is a way forward and we have a general sense that we're going in the right direction. I thought that was kind of an apt metaphor to describe that because it really isn't clear sometimes what we should do in response to climate change or, you know, the pathways of accomplishing that. But yeah, just having a sense of the path forward is really important.
Amy, how about you? Is there one thing that somebody said that really resonated with you?
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I honestly, there's so many great ones. But one of the ones I really liked is something one of our professors, Emily Neal, said about how, I don't remember it specifically, but how you can't expect somebody to try to save something or save a place without them loving it. So if you want somebody to try to work to save something, you have to teach them to love it first. And I think that's really important. And I think that's something that is forgotten about as when people try to inspire others to work to save something, they forget that it's important to have a connection to the place first and a connection to, you know, what they are familiar with and what they love about it. And we have so many, you know, great places in this country, or even just, you know, around my hometown, we have so many great parks and we have so many great national parks. We have so many beautiful areas, and we need to remember that that's what we're working for. That is, we're saving that. We're saving that for ourselves. We're saving that for the future. And I think it just, we need to remember to come back to those places. We can't forget about them. We can't, you know, leave them alone. They have to, like, we have to remember them. We have to hold them with us as we're working towards saving them, helping them. And I think that's really something that helps inspire me. And it reminds me to, you know, take a walk outside when I'm feeling down and just remember that there's so much beauty out there that it's worth saving, kind of.
If progress is going to be made with environmental issues in coming years, we have to have a whole generation of people who have that connection, who care enough to do something about it. And I was struck by, both of you were talking about this earlier, some of the really frightening stuff that you encountered as kids that really could have made you think, I don't have any power, I can't do anything about this, but that it was your love. Laura, you were talking about it, your love of spending time outside, and Amy, I know your family spent a lot of time in national parks when you were growing up, and so you had that connection to nature. When you guys think about that next generation and what they will need to be engaged and find enough hope to continue on, how do you think we need to be teaching kids about the environment and also about the scary stuff too, Laura?
Yeah, it's a complex task. I think definitely, you know, spending time outside during childhood is super important, and that's something that Emily Neal talked about in our podcast. You know, establishing those connections early on is really important. And also, but once you get, you know, into the classroom with environmental studies education, I think it's really important, you know, when you're presenting the issues, to also present possible solutions and emphasize that, you know, even though these problems are occurring, you know, there is a way forward, there is a path forward. That we can, you know, kind of come together and attempt to go down together. So I think that emphasis on not only finding a good, you know, mix between, you know, presenting the problems and framing them, but making sure they're being framed in a way that isn't sort of the daunting, paralyzing task that it can seem to be. And I also think something unexpected that I learned in the course of this was actually how important it is to sort of be real about how, you know, daunting it is to really be authentic with your emotions and to share them with people, to share your frustrations. And that sort of, like, having a place for that expression of emotion along with this issue, I think is really important because it cultivates a sense of solidarity in confronting the problems that exist. And I think that's very essential to confronting climate change and essential to education surrounding it.
Laura and Amy, thank you both so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Laura Preschholt just graduated from Luther this spring with a degree in environmental studies and a minor in economics. Amy Thor is an environmental studies major entering their senior year at Luther. They recorded this podcast we've been talking about as a capstone project for one of their classes. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.